taking up some of their minutes.
Let me just be clear. I said we would find another time, you know, later. I didn't say there would not be time. I'm just trying to get the short comments out now.
Leslie,
figure out when we would take the other comments.
You made no guarantee about my coming back to the mic, so I've decided. You made no guarantee, so I decided to take my time now. I feel it's now or never. Unless you can make a guarantee, I won't leave this microphone.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean,
no guarantee, then I'll.
All right.
No, just go for it.
Take it 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
I cannot do what I need to do in 2 minutes. There have been individual comments here that were not reports that used up a lot of time. Okay, I have a few things to say. The first is that this lovely scenario about how happy things are at KPFK is not true. I have a list of at least 11 people who are Cooper Shubb supporters of last regime who are either on the air, as Jonathan mentioned, or who are frequent hosts or are frequent guests, and it's a continuous interplay among these people of interviewing themselves. I would be glad to give the show this list to anybody who's interested. It's not my main point. My other point is that I think that this board should make a definite statement about the unionization at the local signal areas, even though I know you don't have control over it, that staff votes for who they want to represent them. But to have AFTRA, who supported the Shubb Cooper regime in L.A., and also I don't know what their role is in New York, and to have them represent national is outrageous. These are the people who decided they would not support the unpaid workers. This divides the paid workers from the unpaid workers, and that is not what Pacifica is about. So educate these people about unionization. My next point is about the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, which was mentioned yesterday by both of the ED wannabes. One of them said they would cooperate with the NFCB, and the other one said they didn't believe in any of the policies of the NFCB since 1990. Do you know that the NFCB folks, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, brought us the Healthy Stations Project, from which Pacifica evolved the five-year plan, which, you know, destroyed the programming mission of Pacifica? So let's understand that, folks. What is Pacifica's connection with the NFCB? I wish you would address, somebody would address that, and it's particularly the new executive director. Now, I sent to the board a copy of a listener's proposal for national board resolution for local bylaws programming. This is in line with a lot of comments that I've heard tonight about the lack of bylaws programming and governance programming on the air. Who read that proposal?
Read a little bit of it.
All right, I'm going to read it now since half of you didn't.
No. Bernie, we're going to make sure everyone has.
Well, listen. Please. The point was made that you say to the managers, please do this, and you don't specify what they shall do. Let me just read the final be it resolved. I'm very specific about what I'm asking you to do here. This is important, folks. Be it resolved, this is my recommendation that you resolve this and tell the executive director. Be it resolved that Pacifica's executive director is instructed to advise the station managers and program directors to immediately schedule special bylaws programming on a regular weekly basis until the new bylaws are ratified. The special bylaws weekly program shall be at least 2 hours in length, and each program shall be aired at least twice during the week at hours convenient to the majority of listeners, once during the daytime and repeated in the evening. The bylaws program for a signal area shall consist of a responsible and knowledgeable local host and a panel of guests comprised of non-lab listeners who are active in the bylaws subcommittee for that signal area. Now, thank you.
Okay.
I'm not finished. I'm sorry, I'm not
Bernie,
finished.
Time's up.
This is in support of the Pacifica Matters National Simulcast proposal that was briefly introduced to the board by the group webcasting programs weekly in the past month.
Bernie,
I'm sorry. And so they recommended a 3-hour national simulcast, webcast and simulcast, and to be backed up by this 2 hours. That's, I guess, the essence of my proposal.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I think that we need to take a break up here because we're not, at a certain point, we're just going to stop absorbing what we're hearing from you all. Clear. So I have the list here. I am not promising that we will go right to this list after lunch. Well, I have to consult with the board and figure out the adjustments that we're going to make in this agenda. We will come back to the list. I'm not promising it's going to be the first thing. After it might be. Right, I'm not promising it's not going to be. Right, so... I just think some people. We're going to break now. My understanding is that there's lunch right outside for people. So I'm sure it's excellent. I think we need it. I would like to reconvene precisely, exactly, at 3:15. That gives us 40 minutes for a break. Okay, we will begin at 3:15. If there are five members of the board here.
All right, you are listening to the Interim Pacifica National Board meeting at Wheeler Auditorium in the UC Berkeley campus. And there are a number of stations involved in this broadcast. There is KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles. There is WBAI in New York. And then there are all the webcasts going on, radioforhouston.org, WBIX.org, KPFX.org, the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C. If you're leaving the area and you still want to be able to listen to the broadcast, you can listen online that way on one of the webcasts. And during this break, we will, in fact, be hopefully discussing with some of the people who have been working on the bylaws proposals, their ideas about what those bylaws changes should be, as well as having a discussion with Amy Goodman, the host of Democracy Now!, about her program. And she'll, in fact, be leading the discussion about the bylaws changes. So that's what we have coming up in the next 40, 45 minutes. I'm Jim Innitt, the interim general manager of KPFA, and we'll tell you just briefly that also today what is scheduled is after this lunch break, which was due to start at 12:45 West Coast time or 3:45 East Coast time, is the treasurer's report, which will now start around 2:45 thereabouts. Then going for about a half an hour for that treasurer's report, it'll be followed by finances and fundraising, a brief report from Pacifica's auditor, a review of the fiscal year 2002 budget and adopting that budget, and the process to prepare the 2003 budget, which starts at the end of September, a discussion of resolutions and proposals and fundraising plans, as well as community comment. That will be followed by the Personnel Committee, which will hear a proposal for the establishment of a national committee and a discussion of candidate confidentiality issues. And then the culmination of today is a discussion of proposals on issues related to race and nationality at Pacifica, and just on cue, a report on the status of Democracy Now! As Amy Goodman steps up to the microphone, which we are glad to see you at once again.
It's great to be with you, Jim, and with all the listeners who are listening to the broadcast of this National Interim Pacifica Board meeting. Again, historic, as you have pointed out, that the last time the board meeting was in Berkeley was a very sad time for Pacifica, a very bad chapter in Pacifica's history. But, I mean, just the layout here at Wheeler Auditorium, Leslie Kagan, the chair of the board, was lamenting that more people can't come up on a stage to show all of those who are involved with Pacifica right now. But here you have a long dais that is focused out to, directed out to the audience of people who are there. And you think about what these board meetings, and you've been a part of them for all of these years. They've been in these exclusive hotels, and they've been in a room where they face each other. And we, the producers, the listeners, the Pacifica community, who would come into the meetings or try to, would be considered intruders. They would talk to each other, very much resistant even to speaking into a microphone. So even when we were let in, we couldn't hear what people were saying. And they would consider that an intrusion when we would say, please speak into your mic so we can hear what the business of this network, what you are all engaged in. So it's wonderful just to be able to hear people speaking and talking about all of our futures.
I remember in the fall of 1999 when the meeting took place in Houston, there was a situation where they were allowing one person from each of the signal areas into the room, and one person only, and they had to be a reporter from that signal area, and that was it. They had heightened security, and there was a large group of people that really wanted to find out what the heck was going on in the lobby of the hotel. And it was a very, very tense situation involving the Houston police,
that's right,
the security of the hotel, and it was just as nightmarish as everything else that was going on at the time. I want to revisit those days.
That's right, with a major protest outside, as well as one outside the offices of C.B. Richard Ellis, one of the largest real estate companies of the world, that was taking place because one of the board members was from there. But this is different. It would be nice to see this auditorium filled up. But one of the things Leslie Kagan was saying, the silver lining perhaps, is that people feel, as they've struggled so hard for a new Pacifica, that now they can focus on some of their work, their community activism outside of Pacifica, because they feel that the process is moving ahead. On the one hand, that's absolutely true. On the other hand, as she and many other people have pointed out, we are still in a very critical time for Pacifica, and we need everyone involved around this network. The bylaws are being rewritten, and we've learned only too painfully in the last years what bylaws mean, and how if they are not written very carefully, they can lead to the exclusion of many people. Who wants to be involved with the, you know, the internal bureaucracy of an organization? It's sort of the work that most people do not care about. But we've learned it's all of our business, and we all have to be the caretakers of this incredible organization, this network that was built more than 50 years ago. Right here, began in Berkeley. And on that note, just walking up here to see David Moore, you know, the son of Lou Hill, and who reminds us every time he stands at the microphone of what the original mission is all about, he living in now in Montana.
Well, there are so many practices and policies with this organization that have never been written and have never been discussed. And certainly it's led to some very uncomfortable things for Democracy Now as well, with all of a sudden the so-called supervision that Democracy Now came under with Steve Yasko, and how the relationship between Democracy Now and the national office was or wasn't. It was constantly being rewritten, constantly changing, constantly in harassment, major full frontal harassment mode.
Yeah, it was a very, very difficult time, and we are indebted to all the listeners around this network, and particularly here in Berkeley, that you made it possible, even when we were forced out of WBAI, to continue Democracy Now, and then to expand during this time of war to 2 hours, and just to defy the exclusive gatekeepers at that time who forbid Democracy Now! From airing on the Pacifica satellite. But the Pacifica satellite was just that, Pacifica's satellite, and that was more than those people. And you made sure that we broadcast, Jim, even when you were held personally liable by the old management. They said that they would personally, I guess, sue you for doing this, but you did it anyway. You opened the back door on the satellite.
I am still actually personally liable for Democracy Now! I don't know if you know that, but that hasn't been rescinded yet. It's in my, I should put it up on my wall, because it basically, back when KPFA was the only Pacifica station that was broadcasting Democracy Now!, Pacifica's lawyers sent me a letter that said Pacifica is no longer responsible for this illegal program, and that whatever goes out on your air, Pacifica will not be responsible for, and we are designating you as being personally liable for anything that Amy Goodman and Democracy Now! Do.
Oh my gosh,
okay.
I didn't realize we should be sending you our program ideas, since you're the one who's going to have to pay for them personally.
Just really briefly before we transition into this discussion that we'll have briefly about the bylaws, changes and proposals, which I think is very good, because there will be a larger discussion tomorrow, and we really want to get more listeners involved in thinking about this and participating. We are going to hear a little status report about Democracy Now! Later on today. Hopefully we'll get to that, but maybe you can just, not to go through what we'll hear this afternoon completely, but what is the status of Democracy Now!
Well, we have worked out an operating agreement with Pacifica Radio, and Leslie Kagan will be talking about that later today, I guess, or tomorrow, depending on, since this board meeting is sort of way behind schedule right now. Just to brief the board on that, that allows us to continue to be protected in difficult times and to just continue this, the daily national and international human rights news magazine that we have been doing. You know, we're broadcasting on radio stations around the country and also using new media technologies to also broadcast on public access TV stations and on satellite television to do what we hope all of Pacifica will be leading into, is not seeing such firm lines behind the different medium of communicating, because now it's all changing with the Internet. And it's exciting, for example, to see WBIX.org here, to see the various and independent media centers are a critical part of this as well. But if we're going to affect the national and international discourse, we have to join together all the media that people have fought so hard for. That's community radio, it's community television, which not a lot of people know about, but the activists who fought for that very precious public space from the cable industry, since they have a monopoly, to give it over to communities and to revitalize those or to use them for the first time for programs. So that's what Leslie is going to be talking about, is the is our operating agreement and our just continuation and strengthening of Democracy Now! In this incredible network.
I'd like to transition into a discussion about our bylaws, proposals, and changes that are upcoming and being worked on very, very hard, and we do encourage more and more people to become involved in this because this is our future. We're joined by Miguel Maldonado, who is the chair of the WBAI Local Advisory Board, and he and Amy will be talking. I think we have Bernard White here too, and we'll hopefully get him over, although he's a little under the weather, but we'll be talking to some other people as well, and we urge you to stay tuned. So Amy, I'll let you introduce Miguel.
Miguel, hi.
Hi,
it's nice
Amy.
To see you here. The way things work in New York, a lot of times we don't, a lot of people don't see each other for many months, so it took us coming to this very cold summer, or should I say winter, I don't know what, right now. We're not used to this cold weather in New York. We thought we were coming to sunny California. Bernard, what was that quote that you were using?
Mark Twain.
What was Mark Twain's quote?
The coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in San Francisco.
Well, chilled to the bone here.
I brought my bathing suit.
I think that's what got me.
Well, I hope your bathing suit is fur-lined. Excuse me, to the anti-fur activists. I hope it's synthetic fur-lined. So maybe you both can talk about the whole issue of the bylaws and where they stand now. Miguel, what's happening in New York and just around the country?
Well, I came here to really, I've been involved in the bylaw discussion in WBAI, not 100% in the way that I really want to, but I've been following what's going on, what they're proposing. But at the same time, I can't wait to hear from all the signal area and trying to compare what really would work for us as a network. But I think that in New York City, our particular case, I think that the discussion been really very open, and I think the person like Ray LaForest and Janice K. Bryan has been really doing a great job in facilitating the participation of all the listener groups to have an opportunity to bring different ideas. And we are not, another thing that we should say is that we are not impose some of those ideas like, at the end by having some kind of vote where the people decide, okay, this is, let's see, we got 50 people here, and then you have another 20 who come up with some ideas. But we're doing it, we're just putting all the thought together and trying to bring it here and compare notes with other people and to see what really other people are saying, what we are saying, and what really makes sense, and what will guarantee that at the end we come out with the result of strengthen the lab as well as listeners, and guarantee that things will be more clear for us in preserving our network and make sure that what happened a few years ago doesn't happen again. To me, this is what is important, that we don't go through the same experience, because it's really terrible. And sometimes you had to make a tough decision in how to fight that back. And that we have an opportunity to open up a dialogue in our network when people can bring ideas, and without us really go to the stream to fight really hard and create enemies, that sometimes you create positions that cannot get together at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that this discussion gives us the opportunity or platform to bring our idea to this network and to guarantee the rise and to the group of like the La, who've been the same franchise for a long time, now will have a different role and something to say in the network, where we're going, what the future is going to be, and how we can make it stronger nowadays.
Can you talk about some of the ideas for new bylaws?
To me, I think what is one of the most important one is in terms of giving participation to in terms of the election, the way that model. I think that's something really important. Some of those ideas in terms of
elections of the local
election of the local advisory board. And who will be entitled to vote, which is one of the issues that mm-hmm. are really very difficult to make a decision. And some people say no members. Like I said before, we're not saying that's the final decision. And I know there will be a big discussion in the National Board members to make that decision. But one of the things that we're trying to, we are open to those ideas. Maybe it should be the members only, or maybe people who've been working, a volunteer work for the radio station to have participation, listeners, people come up with the idea in terms of the community block or community people selecting and voting, have the right to vote in those coming elections, as well as people making decision in terms of, and I say this is not the final decision, just some ideas that we will propose, and this is our signal area. That's what they've been saying. Here is the prattle that we come out with without excluding other people's ideas that we're bringing to some of those issues. All of this idea welcome, and I have, like, for instance, I myself favor that the members should vote, as well as people who've been volunteer, people who've been working for our station. Somehow you don't need to be a member. The contribution qualify you to vote and even run for certain positions, that is possible. That's what the one thing. The other thing, it will be in turn of the relationship between the lab and the national board. That's something that we pay special attention. There is a few proposals. And yesterday, on Thursday, on my way here, I had like a whole stack of paper that I didn't even have a chance to read on the airplane. And I'm thinking today to go over that with Ray LaForest, who is the national board member, and take a deeper look and what he can support. And I know he got a lot to say because he's been involved in the process 100%. But just to give us an idea how we've been working, it's not like a really tight process. Been very open. So many ideas we're going to present. This is what this group is saying. This is what the other group is saying. And we'll go for that and see what the national board will do with that. As well, I'm going to pay attention to others' idea in terms of the ethnicity of the network, and some people are bringing some of those ideas, and I pay attention to those kind of things. Really, the participation from the ethnic point of view in the network, as well as a local advisory board.
Miguel Maldonado is the chair of the local advisory board in New York, and that is a structure of our network that each community radio station has a local advisory board, and now over this interim period, these local advisory boards are helping to determine what the new bylaws will be, and also going through the democratization process where they will be elected. One of the things...
Sorry to interrupt you, but we should also mention that even after the national board vote to have a final document, That document needs to be approved by 3 out of 5 local advisory board to make that document official and also to go along with the settlement that we have last December, the year 2001. So that's something that the listeners should have in mind, and also somehow to strengthen the lab and push the lab to participate, because we will have a lot to say in the final decision of the document.
That's right. That is an absolutely critical point, and critical today as we're back now in Berkeley, California for this meeting, because the last time we were in Berkeley, that old board voted to disconnect from the local advisory boards. And each one of those local advisory boards that had been so involved in their stations and network politics, the national board voted that they would no longer be elected from the local advisory boards, but the national board members would simply choose each other. One of the things that someone said earlier today was that pointing out that one of the things that WBAI experienced, the Pacifica station in New York, was after the so-called Christmas coup of 2000, when the Pacifica board came to New York at the beginning of this year, they voted to return the band and the fire to WBAI. And one of those people was the program director, Bernard White, who is here right now and here for the board meeting, even if you are under this cold weather. Thanks for being here, Bernard.
Okay, thank you, Amy. You know, I think the National Board did something very important this week. They got down here a little early, and they had a retreat. And I think that that's the kind of thing that needs to happen also in New York, given the kind of presentation that I heard just a little earlier. Because you know, 5 months ago, we were all launched into this massive redevelopment, restructuring process. We went directly from war mode into this redevelopment mode. And I think that some of us are still pretty much in that war mode. And we have not been able to really sit down and get an understanding of where we are and how things operate, who will have what responsibilities and how these things will need themselves out. And I think that that's one of the things that probably would benefit all of the five stations is if we sit down and begin to take a look at just where we are right now. We've gone through a tremendous process that many of us were deeply involved in. You know, there are certain restraints that we all have. You know, as program director, you can't just come in and begin to terminate people because they happened to be there before. I mean, if we terminated people that were there before, we would have very few people left in the radio station. So there's some people that you have to work with, and you have to learn how to work with them and to move, at the same time, move the new agenda forward. So I think that the retreat, hopefully there will be some way that we can, on local levels, get an opportunity to sit down and talk. I don't think that we've done that, that there are some people who have stopped talking to people altogether. And, you know, it's silly, but it's part of the what has come out of the struggle over the last last year or so. And I think it's the things that we can resolve. Of course we can resolve them because we're adults and we know what it is that we have to do. And we can, once we sit down and talk about them, work them out.
Bernard White, Program Director at WBAI. Bernard has been a longtime programmer before Program Director at WBAI for more than 20 years, whether he was in or out of the city. In the times, Bernard, you were living in Virginia, you used to come up on Martin Luther King's birthday and do this day-long extravaganza, this incredible special of Martin Luther King, reminding us all that Martin Luther King didn't give one speech that he was famous for.
I never played the I Have a Dream speech. I never played it. There's so much more that he was about. And you know, that's what BAI is there for. That's what Pacifica is there for, to do real investigations and not follow the mainstream. And the mainstream, that's all they play. But we began to seek out speeches so that, you know, people could understand who and how important Martin Luther King was.
I just want to mention, if I might,
Miguel.
I did a presentation, and I know that maybe some people thought that I didn't thought about what I said today. Actually, I've been thinking in what I said today for a long, long time. I thought about over and over. I think it was a good idea for me to come out and say in that report what I believe it's what's going on in WBAI. I'm willing to talk to anybody. But at the same time, I don't think that it's not only a dialogue that maybe could bring some kind of solution. And I'm not saying this is a big crisis. I am willing to talk to anybody, sit down. But I think that we need to bring other people into this process who have some idea in terms of what is WBAI and what we went through, because our problem didn't start with Utrecht's lead. I mean, we had to admit that. Start before that. And I think that after that year or the 13 months that we went through hell with Utrecht's lead, I see some kind of model here that somehow Utrecht's model is not gone. I would think maybe, I even talked to Robin Osman and other people, and I've been thinking of names, people who can give us an idea, and especially in my case. And I'm willing to work, I have the energy, and I want to put my energy in WBAI. And I even talked to you, Amy. I mean, I have all of those greatest ideas, and sometimes I just want to talk. Not necessarily I want to implement it. It's a little work needs to be done. But in this particular case, in my personal experience, I lose energy to put some of that into WBI work, and that is bothering me. And I say, you know, we need to be open about this. I mentioned, for instance, things that I don't even mention in the report, and I try to give some people some idea what's going on. And I want to make sure, and that's why I mentioned the case of KPFA. Because when KPFA situation happened, we didn't pay that much attention. We're still here in WBAI. And then now there's some people were a little bit. I mean, people like you, Amy, and other people, or maybe Bernard. But in general, we didn't do that much. We'd mention it. It's going on in the KPFA, 10,000 people were licensed and so on. But maybe we should take it serious look into this, because I'm really worried what's going on, and I have to say it, and I admit it. I'm very.
Can I ask you something? Because this comes up a lot. What would you have done, and what was happening at the station at the time of KPFA?
I'm sorry. In the case of KPFA.
Yeah.
What I will do with KPFA?
No. You said that we didn't do much. And I'm disagreeing with that.
No, I'm not saying that the case is not if we didn't do that much or not. The thing was that the way that we deal with that issue was we never were prepared for what happened in KPFA will come to WBAI. And in my particular experience, took me a little bit by surprise the deep crisis that we at that point were. And we couldn't deal with. I thought that we're going to solve the problem of WBI in 3 or 4 months.
No,
just to make this conversation accessible to listeners who are not so familiar with the history, just in 1999, when the management and the board of Pacifica closed down KPFA, arrested a bunch of producers, the news staff, listeners, dragged them out of the station, put in armed security, and chained the station shut for more than 3 weeks. This is old history to the KPFA listeners right now, but to other people who are listening on the internet and other stations. And I guess the question that you're discussing now is the way other Pacifica stations covered, and particularly WBAI in New York, what was happening in that summer of 1999, right after the board had voted here to disconnect from the local advisory boards and that they would become a self-perpetuating board. But Bernard, you were just saying something.
Yeah, what I was about to say is that we did programs around that. We had people like Dennis Bernstein, we have people like Larry Bensky, who came in to talk about just what was happening. But what happens at these radio stations, and if you watch what happened at WBAI, the listeners become concerned when they turn on the ear and the program that they look forward to, that they rely on, that they get something out of on a daily basis, when it's not there, then they become upset. For the staff to become upset, that's not enough. And we can't upset, you know, we can't mobilize people based on just our being upset. They have to be upset, too. So once what happened at WBAI, when people came in and you were harassed, I was fired, a wake-up call began to change totally. Some of the most progressive programs on the radio station were just snatched off. People were, at that time, were ready to move and ready to organize. You can't organize people until they're ready to do that. I don't care how angry you are. If they're not, if they don't feel personally touched by it, the best way to organize them is when they feel personally touched by it.
Maybe
that's Bernard
right,
White,
that's
Program Director Miguel Maldonado, the chair of the local advisory board, and sitting in the wings are a number of people, including Max Blanchet, who is with KPFA, Greg Gieselman of KPFT, and also Dave Adelson, who is just stepping down as chair of the local advisory board at KPFK. You know, it's interesting to see Max Blanchet because of getting a bunch of emails from Max. Here's a person who knows well how important community radio is and who's been championing the memory of leading radio democracy, media democracy activist, Jean Dominique in Haiti, someone that I got a chance to meet and interview when I was in Haiti during the coup. He took on the coup leaders, and he made it through the coup, but then was assassinated afterwards. And I think that really shows the power of the media and why people felt that it was such a threat. Hi, Max.
Hi, thank you for having me, Amy.
Talk about radio and media democracy and why you're here today at the Pacifica board meeting that's being held in Berkeley. By the way, the next one is being held in Houston.
Well, over the years, Pacifica has always been very good to me, very good to the Haitian community. We've always had access going back the last 15 or 16 years. This is a place where I always felt very comfortable. And whenever there was a crisis in Haiti, the doors were always open for us. I'm talking about myself, Pierre Laboussière, and others of the Haitian community to come into this station and tell our perspective on the Haitian situation. And this is continuing today. So from our narrow perspective, which is in the Haitian situation, which is very typical of what's happening in so much of the third world, KPFA or Pacifica have been an extremely valuable resource, and we appreciate that. So in some sense, I'm giving something back, and that's why in recent years I've become much more involved with the station. I have served on the local advisory board a couple of summers ago, and I'm involved with the bylaws committee. I'm on the elections committee, and I'm on the diversity committee. So for me, it has become almost a full-time job, and I appreciate every minute of it.
Well, maybe Max and also Dave Adelson, former chair of KPFK's local advisory board, trying to get used to saying former chair, you can talk about how you're involved with the bylaws changes. And I hope people's eyes don't glaze over when they hear bylaws changes, but we've all come to appreciate how critical the operation of this radio network is and the rules and the laws that are laid down for its operation.
Well, one of the things about bylaws, Bernard was mentioning the reaction of listeners when their favorite personalities or the people with whom they essentially have a relationship were removed from the air, their reaction to that. An important part of that is that there was a context there. It wasn't just a removal of one person for another. It was in the context of a reformulation of an institution that listeners had certain beliefs about based on the quality of the broadcasts. A lot of ideas that get broadcast over Pacifica's airwaves concern questions about abuses that arise not just because there are bad people in institutions, but because there are institutional forms that are themselves directed towards concentration of power and alienation of resources from communities in order to serve markets. So it may seem a little bit abstract, but it's really very immediate. Most people spend their life working for somebody else. They walk in the door. What is the nature of the social relationships you are engaged in for most of your day? And the reason it's important at Pacifica is because we want people in these radio stations who have the kind of freedom that Lou Hill talked about when he founded it. He pointed out that in much of commercial radio, the reason you didn't have ethical communication was that people were essentially, as Lynn Gary said, larynx for hire. One of the tests was that you could deliver content with any kind of emotional affect you wanted. And the goal was to manipulate listeners, because actually listeners are the product in most media. And Pacifica was supposed to be a place where people like you could come and do what you thought was important based on your own ethical beliefs. And so the question of how decisions get made about who gets to be there and what are the social relationships that take place within the stations are actually very important. So although bylaws conversations may sound kind of prosaic, kind of academic, they're really not, because they structure what kind of institution we'll have. Now, the corporate form that is so powerful and sweeping through most of our societies is not a new phenomenon. It's something that's developed and matured over a course of, you know, 140 years in recent times, but even before that there were precursors in some of the corporations that were responsible for the imperialism and colonization in previous centuries. One of the reasons I got involved was because I thought it was important to try and work towards a new kind of institution that supported the kind of political values that were expressed by people on the air. If you live it, what you talk about will have greater legs than if you're just saying it. And people should go see the movie Network from 1975, where everybody remembers the line, "I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore." But the more important line is when Peter Finch says, "They will sell you any bleep you want to hear." And social dissent as a product may sell well, but what we really want to do is create different kind of institutions in the society. We have the opportunity to do that at a communications network, and I believe that to the extent that it succeeds, this can be a place where the news gets out about what it's like to be in that kind of an institution. And I don't actually know how to do this. I don't know that anybody has come up with a proper solution. But there are people out there who may have important ideas. I will say that elections do not constitute the sum and substance of democracy. There has to be a lot of other things done. And the listeners who support the activities inside those stations have a right to know about it. And I'm hoping, I mean, anybody who's listening now, as I said earlier, is hardcore, and they already got it. I hope we can convince some more people to pay attention. So I think that's why bylaws are really important.
So can you talk about some of the ideas for bylaws changes, Max and Dave?
Well, in the Bay Area, we have been meeting for the last 10 or 11 weeks to discuss these ideas. And we have been, I would say, quite successful. We've had a core group of people meeting over the 10 weeks.
Where do you meet?
We meet in Berkeley at the station or in surrounding buildings.
And how do you let people know where you're meeting?
Typically, the meetings are announced on the air.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there are a number of community organizations that are hooked into the process, and that's the way people participate. The meetings have not been large, but I think they've been very effective. And also, they've taken place in a very good atmosphere. That is a very civil atmosphere. People, I think, are learning to respect one another when they debate and discuss their ideas. And this is a very positive aspect of the whole process. It's not only important to change the structure of the organization and, of course, to deliver very progressive news on the world, on current events, but we need to structure ourselves in such a way that we become an example to the society at large. We should really get our act together within the network and function in a very democratic way, very open way, and debate the important ideas that are relevant to us. But regarding your specific question, we've taken an interesting approach in Berkeley. Rather than go into the details of elections or lab structure and all of that, we looked at the basic building blocks of the network, namely the membership, the local boards, the stations proper, and the national board. And we've looked at the key linkages among these various components, and we focused on that. It's fair to say that in the Berkeley area, there is a consensus that we have to move away from the heavy centralization, undemocratic centralization that almost did us in. And that's why it's fair to say that we would like to see some kind of a local elected board, but a governing board. We want to go beyond the advisory role. There is probably a consensus on that. There is a consensus also that diversity must be built into the system. There is probably a consensus as to what membership should be. Much of this is guided by the fact that in the Berkeley area, we have completed two rounds of elections, and we like to think that our model, although it has its shortcomings, is a good starting point. So we've sort of built upon that. In addition, I believe that there is a consensus on the idea that the national board should be elected by the local boards. That could be done separately or collectively. A number of options have been developed, and all of these have been distilled in the document that Carol Spooner has prepared. The document reflects not only the key ideas that were discussed here in the Bay Area, but discussed elsewhere. And I believe the document is available on a number of sites on the Internet, so people interested in that should look into it.
Carol Spooner being the secretary of the Interim National Pacifica Board and the lead plaintiff in the listener lawsuit against the old board. Dave?
Some of the questions that are at issue, as Max referred to, are what kind of membership rights do listener subscribers have? There are any number of different rights that one can give to members of a nonprofit or a for-profit corporation, rights to elect directors, rights to vote on any future change in bylaws, rights to vote on question of disposition of assets, and the rest of it. So one of the big questions is what rights are being given listener subscribers. Another important question is what rights in terms of the governance structure are being given to workers, not just the paid staff. By the way, the paid staff, as you know, have by default an immense role in the life of the station. They're there all the time, every day. What are the rights of an unpaid staff? What are their relative roles in it? What is the relationship between local elected bodies and their authority over operations at the station vis-a-vis a national body? And one of the scenarios that gets discussed is, for example, suppose you had a locally elected board in one signal area that had very different ideas than a local elected board in another area or than the national board. How are those differences in vision going to get resolved? What is the role of these elected bodies then in directing, for example, management of the station? Now, one of the very interesting things from my perspective is that a lot of these bylaws are going to be these questions of overall governance, but I think one of the key questions is what's the structure of power within the station in terms of the relationship between management and workers? And that's probably something that's not going to find its way into the bylaws and ultimately is going to be part of the content of the discussion around who gets elected to those governing bodies, because they're going to be responsible for dictating the kind of policies that determine those relationships.
Sam Husseini is also here from Washington, D.C., and he is the chair of the Local Advisory Board of D.C. Sam, as you listen to this conversation about the rewriting of the Pacifica bylaws, I was wondering if you can talk about the process that's taking place in the nation's capital.
Well, in D.C., there's largely a process of the lab, which was largely the reform movement, starting to heal a lot of breaches that happened between them and the station, trying to find ways of democratizing and simultaneously scrutinizing what's on the air and trying to develop a meaningful process of influencing the programming in a way that respects the programmers and respects the programmers as workers,
but sort of questions them as owners, if you will, so that labor is respected, but that there's a way of ensuring that they're fulfilling their obligations. And I think that the touchstone to that is going to be the mission of Pacifica and trying to find a way of, okay, is this programming fulfilling the mission of Pacifica? And just keeping that, if we have that as, you know, keep our eyes on that prize, then I think that a lot of the, you know, negative back and forth and so on can sort of go by the wayside, and we can find ways of melding cultural programming with political programming, for instance, and so on and so forth. We just had our first local advisory board show. It was great. Tony Regusters initiated the process.
Tony Regusters is the interim general manager of WPFW.
Yeah. It's a process of the lab listening to the local advisory board, listening to folks and educating them for the first time about the history and mission of Pacifica, and a sense at PFW that it's part of a network, you know, that it's not just the standalone station that plays a lot of jazz and some lefty stuff. And we got the funkiest call. One caller was a guy who was a self-described Christian conservative. And he said, you know, I love the music, so I'm a regular listener. But, you know, all this left-wing stuff that you guys are about, you know, I don't know. And, you know, I'm so torn about it because it's like there's an opportunity to dialogue with somebody here. You know, okay, it's fine. We should, you know, bring on somebody who's a, you know, right-wing Christian and dialogue with them. Well, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to have those religious perspectives and then for, you know, perpetual war, for example? How do those two things mesh? So we should need to be challenging them. But then it also causes me concerns about, well, if you have a lot of folks like that who are members of PFW by virtue of having put down $35 to become a member, and you open up the process to an elections process, you have two stations that the previous management drove out, a lot of the listeners and the programmers, the D.C. station and the Houston station, and L.A. is very complicated. I'm sure Dave can tell us more about that. And we open that up to an elections process. What kind of board are we going to end up with at the end of the process if we open it up to a democratic process? You know, we're not doing democracy in the middle of a third world country where we know most of the people have their intentions at heart. We're doing democracy in the empire, fundamentally, and in D.C., and in the seat of the empire. It's got conflicting, you know, D.C., people of D.C. are disenfranchised, but they're also, you know, so many powerful institutions around D.C. trying to influence things. What does democracy mean in those circumstances?
You know, I have to smile as I see you sitting here with a microphone, Sam Husseini, because until the recent changes at Pacifica, the only way you could be heard is you would call in during local talk shows, and you would say something like, there's a local advisory board that's going to happen on Wednesday, before they would hang up on you. And that was the way you'd let people know that there was a board meeting. Right. It's a little different right now.
It's definitely a lot different. And just sitting back and, you know, looking back on the massive changes that happened because, we were literally going through the streets just handing out flyers, you know, putting out things in libraries, which we still need to do and so on. And we always play that phone tag of, you know, getting cut off.
Well, Greg Gieselman is also with us, who is from the KPFT listening area. And maybe you can tell us what has been happening in Houston when it comes to the local advisory board working with people in rewriting the bylaws and making that Houston contribution of the station that was founded in 1970, the only radio station in the country, KPFT, that had its transmitter blown up not once by twice, but twice by the Ku Klux Klan.
Well, Amy, we've got a few pieces of junk debris, the sculpture that's in the landing between the first and the second floor in this old 90, almost 100-year-old home on Lovett Boulevard in Montrose. I'm a member of the lab. I've been around, you know, since we were constituted and blessed last winter. And what we've learned through this bylaws process is that even though there are people of substantially different feelings, we can get along. I mean, there's the litmus testing group in Houston. There's the old, the ancien régime from the previous administration group. There are the rather reasonable people. And through 15 weeks of these meetings, we've gotten along rather well.
Greg, I hate to do this, but it looks like the board is reconvening, so you're going to have to come back in the next recess. Jim Bennett's here to take over the controls and broadcast this really historic meeting for Pacifica Radio back in the Berkeley area, the founding area of Pacifica Radio more than 50 years ago. Last time we were here, the board went in a very different direction, voting to disconnect from the community. Now Leslie is calling the board meeting of the afternoon back to order. This is Leslie Kagan, the chair of the Pacifica Interim National Board. You're listening to Pacifica Radio.
On the air is ready. Okay, we're on. Thank you. We want to invite everybody back to the meeting and welcome again those of you who are listening either to the webcast or to the broadcast. And again, we want to thank all the technical people all around the country who are making the broadcast and the webcast possible. This goes a long way to bringing the message of the new Pacifica out to much larger numbers of people than those who could possibly fit in its room. Actually, if you are listening, though, from the Northern California area, you are welcome to join us. We're at Wheeler Auditorium on the University of California Berkeley campus. We'll be here until about 6 today, and then tomorrow morning from 9 to about 3. So please do feel free to come by. So we need to move ahead. By the way, I should just also mention, for those of you who are here, you may not be aware of this, during the break, apparently, what was happening on the air was a discussion about bylaws and governance issues. So at least 3 of our stations were carrying that conversation live. And we think we want to thank folks, whoever thought up that idea, to use the time that way. That's very helpful. So thank you very much. Okay, let's move on. The meeting ended before lunch, not on the happiest of notes. So if we could try and shift gears. And I do want to apologize to the people whose names we had taken. If I seemed a little arbitrary or mean-spirited or whatever, I, like everybody else, needed a break.
And I do want to remind you that this is KPFA in Berkeley, KPFB in Berkeley, KFCF in Fresno, KPFK in Los Angeles, WBAI in New York, RadioForHouston.org, WBAX.org, KPFX.org, and the Independent Media Center in Washington, D.C.
And move the agenda. We are way late, so hopefully we can catch up sometime a little later. So, next on the list is Rafael Renteria. I'm not sure the floor mic is on yet.
Test,
okay,
there we go. Hi, Leslie. I think I know most of you on the board and vice versa. My name is Rafael Renteria. I'm a former program director at KPFT and a member of the Pacifica Matters Collective. I'm here to address questions pertaining to KPFK. If I had to be chosen as general manager of KPFT or KPFK and I were looking for a low-stress position, I would choose KPFT. KPFK, in my view, is probably the most troubled radio station in the Pacifica network, not in terms of overt political infighting, not in terms of the friendliness of the people involved, not in terms of the functionality of the movement, but in terms of the direction of its programming and the failure of its programming to even approximate being mission-driven according to the Pacifica mission. There is a deep entrenchment in the programming at KPFK among those that a lot of us call the nation cabal. That is the Mark Coopers, the John Wieners, and others who have been part of supporting a liberal democratic establishment and promoting the Democratic Party, but even more importantly, promoting war on Pacifica's airwaves. That's how stark it is. That's how real it is. That's what we're up against. Nothing like that exists at any other Pacifica station. We have primetime programmers promoting war on KPFK, supporting an imperialist agenda on KPFK, and that has to be eliminated. For you on the board, I understand that you have a hesitancy to mandate sweeping programming changes. I understand that you're trying to do that out of a democratic sensibility. Let me suggest to you that in this case, that's turning into its opposite. That in fact what you're doing is promoting what will ultimately be anti-democratic practices. Because if we allow the liberal white establishment in Los Angeles to remain in power at KPFK, we're going to ensure that progressive people of color, that the oppressed communities do not have a voice. Elections are coming soon. We have to do something about that. And that, in my mind, means sweeping programming changes, whether people are afraid of the word purge or not. And I guess I'll leave it at that.